In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the first month of the blessed month, first week of the blessed month of Hatur. And this is the month that's before the month of Kiyak, which is the month in which we celebrate the incarnation of the Lord. So the church is preparing us from this month for the incarnation of the Lord, for Lord's coming next month, God willing. And the focus here on the gospel this week and next week actually will be the same passage, is about the Word of God. The seed that we saw in this parable is the Word of God. And kid, in the middle of this, the Lord said something important that's repeated throughout the gospel. He who has an ear, what? Let him hear. So he's not speaking about the person who can hear physically, but the person who hears the Word of God and then it works within them. This is the work of God in our souls, the work of God within us. And he made it very obvious in this parable that our response to his word will determine whether we are fruitful or not. Our response to the word of God will determine whether we are fruitful Christians or we are not. Now if we put this parable next to a couple of other verses about speaking about bearing fruit, we'll get an idea here of what the Lord wants to send to us. He says, for example, in Luke chapter 3, verse 9, he says, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So what happens to the tree that does not bear fruit? It's cut down and thrown into the fire. And then in Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, he says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So here, Christ makes it very clear that it's important for us, critically important for us, to be fruits that bear, or trees that bear good fruit. Of course, there's bad fruit we spoke about in another passage, but let's speak here about the good fruit. So it's important for us and necessary for us to be fruitful trees in God's vineyard, or else, as he says here, it will be cut out and thrown into the fire. So being fruitful members of the body of Christ is important. And basically he's telling us fruitless members are useless members. Fruitless members are what? Are useless members. However, he speaks about four types of ground or four types of hearts that when the seed hits these four types of ground, what happens? Three of them are actually types of hearts that limit the potential of growth or in becoming fruitful, and one of them is the one that's optimal for growth. So what are the types of hearts that actually limit the growth or the limit our own spiritual growth and maturation to bear fruit? Number one is the careless heart. A heart that is just careless, right? If we notice here the seed that fell on the wayside, this is not actually, the wayside is kind of like the road, right? So the seed is not supposed to be on the road, right? And what happens to the seeds that are on the road? People step on them, they're trodden upon, right? So they're in a place which they ought not to be. So it's just, they're there out of carelessness, right? So the heart that is careless in their spiritual life will never grow. Will never grow. And this is the type of person who, for example, doesn't take their spiritual life seriously. Or the person who thinks that it's a joke. That all of this, yeah, it's just a joke. Or the person who procrastinates this and says, I'll do it tomorrow, the next day, or when I'm a little older, or when I'm out of my youth, right? When I have fun, I'm here in college, I'm supposed to have fun, so let me have fun, right? And I'll do this later, right? This procrastination, this is carelessness in our spiritual life. I'll give an example of somebody who actually thought that this was a joke and it cost him or them their life, right? Do you remember this passage of Abraham when he met with the three angels? And then two of them are going to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and warn Lot and his family of the imminent danger that God is going to judge and destroy the city of Sodom, right? So the angels go in and they, you know, they go into the house of Lot by force. The men there were ruthless. They go in and they talk with Lot, tell him what's going on. And as they're talking with him, the men are outside wanting to commit sin. So the sin is very obvious and clear in front of everybody. So then Lot, Lot turns to his sons-in-law, the ones who married his daughters, and said, we got to go and get out of here. The city is going to be destroyed. Listen to what the Bible says in Genesis 19:14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. So they thought he was just kidding, right? He was joking. Sometimes we listen to Abuna and we're speaking about the judgment and what's to come and being ready, and you never know how long our life is. And we take and says Abuna is just joking. What are we talking about? Everything's just fine. The sun's out. Everything's dandy. We have clothing. We have shelter. We have our phones. We have this. We have that. Everything is fine. So Abuna must be here. He's joking. Not taking it serious. This is a careless heart. What happened to the husbands of these sons-in-law? They died there in Sodom. Lot went out with his three daughters and his wife, and they took off running. And as they're running, the fire and brimstone came upon Sodom, and they died. Why did they perish? Because they were careless. They were careless. They didn't take it serious. They thought it was just, he was just joking. I think plague that's plaguing us nowadays, especially in the area of this carelessness, is indifference. Indifference. Indifference, whether you have your God, I have my God. Everything kiddah is indifferent. Whether I come to church, I don't come to church, I'm indifferent. Whether I pray, I don't pray, I'm indifferent. This indifference is a plague. Listen to what St. Cyril of Alexandria says. He says, we must therefore not scorn the divine gifts, but rather set great store by what we have from God. The gift will be pleased to dwell in us when we show interest. So the gift of God will be pleased to dwell within us if we what? If we show interest in the gift that God has given us. If by contrast we prove indifferent and remiss about it, it will completely take its leave. It will leave. The grace of God, if we're not interested in the grace of God, guess what? It will leave. It will leave, right? So he says here, this indifference of whether I have the grace or I don't have the grace, or I am active in my spiritual life or not, this can be the sentence of death for us. This is the careless heart. The second is the superficial heart. This is like the seeds that fell on the rocky ground. This is the heart that initially shows interest, but does not possess any commitment to the word that it heard. Again, it's superficial. The superficial, as we read in the parable, has root, but then it's not strong enough because there's rock, right? So it's interested, but they just can't bear any fruit because the rock is there. This I would liken to another character in the story of Lot, which is his wife, right? Lot's wife, when she heard what the angel said and what Lot said, she said, okay, I'll receive their word and I will go with them, right? So she received the word of God, but then what happened? Did it take root in her heart? It didn't take root. And we see this as they were exiting the city. What happens? She turns around and looks back. And it wasn't the look, my beloved, but it was the desire of her heart. It was the desire of her heart. She had shallow roots. She secretly desired what she left behind in Sodom. Although she listened to the word and she was going out, but what was truly in her heart was what was there. But what about my jewelry? What about my clothing? What about my friends? What about this party? What about this that I'm supposed to go to tomorrow? All of the things that she left behind, this is where her heart was. Right? This is where her treasure was. So she looked back. This is the superficial heart. The one that just does things on the outside. The same, my beloved, is sometimes with us. Sometimes, kiddah, we have those who have a formal relationship with the Lord. Formal meaning when there are formal occasions, this is when I do my spiritual activities. So, okay, we are used to and accustomed to coming to church on Saturday. Habibi, when do you pray? I pray on Sunday when I come to church. Okay. So how about when do you read the Bible? Oh, when somebody sends me something on Facebook or on any other, you know, social media, then I read it. I don't say no, I read it. Okay, Habibi. When do you give an offering? He says, whenever they pass the plate, you know, if they pass the plate, I give an offering. If they don't pass the plate, I don't do it. So this is about just a form of relationship. You know, just, and I do the bare minimum that is only asked of me, but I won't take the initiative. I won't stand up to pray in my home. If I'm in the church, yeah, I'll say a prayer, right? If my family all wants to come to church, then I'll just come to church, right? I don't take the initiative, right? This, bardo, is the superficial. I can hear the word. I don't have a problem with it. But then it just doesn't take root. It doesn't take root. There's no initiative that's made on my own, right? We have here the boxes here for the donation. We don't pass the plate around anymore or the bag. How many of us actually take the initiative and put our tithe in without the plate being here? Some do. And yeah, many of you do, actually. But some don't. But if the plate comes, I will maybe feel embarrassed in front of my brethren not to put anything, so then I put. This is superficial, right? Where I'm only doing things because, that I have to. Then there's the preoccupied heart. The heart that's preoccupied. This is about the thorny ground, right? There are many other things going on around me in my life, and I'm preoccupied. This is the heart that's busy with many other things, and to know whether I have this thorny heart is, or this preoccupied heart, is if I give myself the excuse, the infamous excuse, I have no time, right? This is classic, right? I'm preoccupied is the one who says, I don't have any time. Do you read the Bible? I don't have any time, right? Do you do this? I'm busy with my studying at school. Do you do this? I can't come on Sunday because I have work. Or I can't come on Saturday too because it's my only day to sleep. And I work 6 days a week. There's an excuse for everything. I don't have time. This is the preoccupied heart. I'm occupied about making money. I'm occupied making friends and hanging out with friends. I'm preoccupied about, you know, checking social media and posting things on social media. So many preoccupations. This exactly was the issue with the rich young ruler. And this preoccupation, actually, my beloved, the root cause here is the lack of prioritizing correctly. Perhaps none of the other things that I said is bad. Going to work and providing a living, or even checking social media here and there. These things aren't evil in themselves, but it's not, they're not prioritized correctly. This was the issue with the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler, he had money, but the issue isn't the money itself, but it's the love of money. So the Lord told him to sell what you have and come after me and take up your cross and follow me. It says he went away sorrowful. He couldn't. He couldn't prioritize correctly. He couldn't put following the Lord first. He couldn't put prayer first. He couldn't put reading the Bible before studying his homework. Right? He couldn't do that. Also, the Lord told another passage or another parable that it's in line with this is the parable of the great supper, where he says, the Lord says that he prepared a great supper and he invited, sent out the invitations. And as the servants went out, they came across some people and they told him kiddah some excuses. He came to the first person and says, come, the wedding is ready and everything's set, just come. And he said, I'm sorry, I bought a piece of ground and I have to go see it. So please excuse me. This is one excuse. And then he goes and says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I have to go test them, right? Sometimes we might say the same thing. I bought this new computer, I bought this new phone, and we'll stay up late so we can play with it, and then end up, we don't come to church the next morning, or we come very late because I'm testing what I just got, right? Same kind of thing. I have married a wife, therefore I can't come. Why don't you bring her with you? Right? No, but this is an excuse. But I have to give her what's hers, and she has to give me what's mine, and then we'll come whenever we're ready. Excuses, right? Excuses. This is the preoccupied heart, so many things. And the Lord ended this parable, and he says, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste the supper. So all those who gave the excuses and said, I can't, and were preoccupied by something else, they're going to miss the supper. Now, they have a saying here in America, it's called, you snooze, you what? You lose. You snooze, you lose. Meaning there will come a time and will the bell will ring and anything after that is late and will not be accepted. Right? The Lord said the same thing. Anybody who doesn't accept the invitation, there'll come a time where خلاص, the trumpet has sounded, those who are with me, and those who are not. This is the preoccupied heart. How about the heart, the good heart? The heart that is prepared for growth and makes a good environment. This is the sincere hearer of the word. I'll give two examples of Cornelius and the Ethiopian eunuch, and I chose them as being non-believers for a reason. So they were non-believers. They weren't people who heard the word of God like the Jews at the time, right? But they, you know, caught whims of it, but then their heart was ready. And in the Ethiopian eunuch's example, he was doing some duty for the queen, and he was coming back, and he was reading in the book of Isaiah. And as he's reading, came to him, and somebody, and Philip went to him, because the Lord knew that he desired to know. His heart was ready. The Lord sent him Philip, and he said to him, "Do you know what you're reading?" And he answered something that is profound. He said, "How can I unless someone guides me? How can I unless someone guides me?" How many of us truly seek to be guided? And how many of us want to be our own guide? Right? How many of us want to read the Bible so we can interpret it ourselves and take from it what we like and leave what we don't like? But this person, in all honesty and sincerity and readiness of heart, he says, "How can I know what I'm reading unless somebody guides me?" He's like, he was very honest with himself. "I really sincerely want to know what this means. I don't want my own interpretation of it. I don't want to, you know, make my conscience feel better. No, I'm reading this because I really want to know." That's why the Lord sent him Philip from across the country and sent him all the way to him to meet him. And he met with him. And sometimes also, we don't want to seek guidance because it runs against our ego, to be quite honest, right? It runs against our ego. Why should I go to somebody? I can't tell you countless people. Their husband and wife are arguing with one another and they say, "Let's go for counseling, let's go meet with Abuna." I don't need Abuna. I don't need to be guided by anyone. I can be guided by myself. I know what's right and what's wrong. And you're keza, 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 and you're this, this, and this, and this, right? This runs against the grain of our ego. Some people also meet with Abuna to gain approval of their choices rather than to seek guidance. I'm coming to Abuna so he can tell me, give me his stamp of approval on what I say. I'm not coming to him and saying to him, "This is the situation, how can I make it better?" No. Abuna, this is what happened, this is what she did, this is what he did. Point to them and say, "Give me my rights from them." They want Abuna's stamp of approval and that's it. It's as if he doesn't understand anything, and he's there just to give his stamp of approval. Am I wanting to be guided, or do I want to guide myself? That's why at the end of this passage with the Ethiopian eunuch, it says, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized?'" So the desire of his heart, from the beginning, he desired it, it bore fruit, it grew, and then it ended up being what I want to be baptized. What hinders me from being baptized? The second example is Cornelius. This man also was a centurion of the Italian regiment. Wasn't Christian, wasn't Jew, wasn't anything. But the Bible witnesses to him in good way. It says what? "There's a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God and all his household, and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always." This guy was behaving like a Christian, although he did not know Judaism or Christianity. But he was practicing it. And because of this, God sent him a vision and says, "Your prayer and almsgiving has come up to heaven." And at the same time, he was having St. Peter have another dream to tell him that you should go to the Gentiles also. They are also called. So one thing led to another. In the dream of Cornelius, it said, "Go send for Peter and bring him to me." So Peter, as the men were coming in, he just woke up from his dream, wondering what it was about. And the men said, "Come with us. A man named Cornelius wants to see you." And he went with them. And he told them what was going on. Cornelius told him the dream. He preached to him the word, right? And then he believed, and him and his whole household were baptized. His heart was ready. It was ready. What is common among these two individuals? There's four things. There are four actions that is required to receive this word of God in a healthy way, that it produces growth in our heart. Number one is receiving the word. Number two is understanding the word. Number three is retaining the word. And number four is practicing the word. The first one is receiving the word. That they receive the word and are willing to hear it. Right? This is exactly, if you remember, at the time of the Passion of Christ, we begin the Passion Week with like Palm Sunday, right? Where all of Jerusalem accepted the Lord as what? As king, saying, Hosanna to the highest, right? 5 days later, 6 days later, what were they saying? Crucify him, crucify him, right? So they accepted him in the beginning. They heard him, but then that was it. When things started going south and they saw him, you know, being taken by the Sanhedrin and the elders, they said, no, this guy's not the one. He's weak, right? Crucify him. They didn't. They received the word, but that's all that happened. They just received it. The next one is understanding. The word has to be understood. So I have to know the word and I have to understand it. Mind you, in order for us to receive the word, we have to hear the word, right? This is Bardo, another thing. Yani the reading in our lives has gone down. All we read is posts, right? Read just these little snippets of things. But we need to be able to read chapters, right, in Bible and in different things. So we need to get in the habit of reading, you know, outside of the internet. Second thing, we have to understand the word. The word must be understood, or else it proves to be useless, right? In the Psalm 110, it says, understanding is good to all who do according to it. What use is knowledge if it's not practiced? Actually, they say if you don't use it, you lose it, right? So if I gain all this knowledge and I don't practice it, I lose it, right? So the same thing. If I don't read the word and understand it, then I will lose it. There's no way I can live by something that I don't understand, nor live by something that I didn't read or so wasn't preached to me. So we have to understand the word as well. It's not just simply to read, but we have to understand. And we get the understanding here, lest any, I repeat myself, I said we can't have our own understanding of things, but just like the Ethiopian eunuch, what is it, I want, no one is there to guide me. And who guides us is the church. So the church's idea and understanding of scripture is of paramount importance. Then the third is to retain the word. So there are those who receive the word, understand the word, but they just don't retain the word. It just flees from them. Either they don't understand or they forget. A lot of us, it's the latter. We forget. Why are things forgotten? Number one, because they're not applied. If I apply what I learn, then it will never be forgotten. Number two is it's not studied or it's not repeated, right? If I read something once and I don't repeat it, then I'll forget it. There are very few individuals who read something once and they memorize it and they learn it, right? These are exceptions. But the majority of us is I have to repeat it over and over and over again. That's why we go through the Bible, and when we get to Revelations, we go back to Genesis and read it again. And we continue this loop, right, the rest of our life. That's why St. James tells us, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So if I read and understand and I do, this one will be blessed in everything that he does because he understands and he retains. Lastly is the practice of the word, the practice. St. James tells us, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So if I receive the word and understand the word, and even I remember the word, but all of this is to no avail if I don't what? Practice the word. If I don't practice it. If I don't put into action what I read, then again, it's useless. It's useless. It needs to be put into action. Or else it becomes just some theories, some philosophy, but it doesn't become a way of life. And this is what the Bible is the way of life. The example of this course is the Pharisees. The Pharisees understood the law of Moses. The Pharisees understood, received it, and they memorized it. But then they didn't practice it in truth. They didn't practice it in truth. They will change it according to what they liked, but they didn't practice it in truth. The same with us. If we don't practice in truth, then yani, it becomes useless. That's why the Lord said, he who has an ear, let him what? Let him hear. And we know this hearing involves four things. It involves receiving the word, understanding the word, retaining the word, and practicing the word. This is the good ground, right? The good heart. The bad heart, we said there were three. The careless heart, the heart that thinks it's a joke and doesn't take it seriously. The superficial heart that just does things externally to please, you know, the people or to please one's conscience. And lastly, a heart that's preoccupied with so many other things that it ignores the word, ignores the Bible, ignores their spiritual life altogether. God willing, next week we'll speak about the environment. Today we spoke about one's own heart. Next week we'll speak about the environment of growth, right? Does the environment that we surround ourselves with, does it influence how one can grow? God willing, we'll speak about that next week. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.